Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Star Wars Battlefront 2, initially one of the most despised games of the modern generation that also had arguably the best turnaround in recent memory, going from a grindy microtransaction encouraging mess to a far more fan-servicing sandbox of Star Wars ephemera, I'd still say this is one of the best Star Wars games ever made, and its legions of fans would agree. Josh Brown, why can't EA and DICE just carry that momentum forward?
It's funny, Scott, because you say that, and that could apply to like a bunch of different franchises that both EA and DICE currently work on. But I am, when it comes to this specifically, the issue seems to be, my friend, that the Star Wars license just costs way more than EA are willing to play. And when it comes down to the number crunching and what makes the most money, Star Wars is more of a difficult sell than you might think. You know, you see the Star Wars license and you think that that's just going to be an excuse to print money because Star Wars is one of the biggest entertainment properties in the entire world. But apparently that comes with a cost to license the biggest entertainment property in the world, or one of them. Apparently you need to sell 20% more copies of a game than you need to sell if you were, you know, releasing your own IP, like a Battlefield, for instance, which DICE also work on.
So all this comes from Tom Tenders Henderson over on Twitter, who he's a very well-known leaker for Call of Duty stuff, Battlefront stuff, Battlefield stuff as well. And he's talking to an anonymous developer working on the project, saying that the way the licensing fee rolled out, they would have to sell 20% more sales overall to recoup the same amount of money. So with that in mind, that seemed to be quite an easy calculus, a Thanos-style simple calculus for EA to go, actually, that's not for us. We'll stand back. Also, I think there is that wider thing of just Star Wars is not in the place that it was. You know, even a good few years ago, Rise of Skywalker. For me, I mean, I'm just going to say for me, and overall, I just feel the energy around Star Wars is nowhere near what it was. So, if, like I said, if you're EA, the optics of Star Wars makes you want to take a step back. They do have other irons in the fire. They do have Jedi Fallen Order 2 coming up. Like, obviously, it's a single-player game, something that they've rallied against in the years previous. But for me, I think what they're doing is taking a step back, letting other games fill the space. Obviously, Lucasfilm Games, or whatever you call the new division of LucasArts, is setting loads of different projects in motion. They can take a step back, let the Star Wars name in the gaming space get stronger overall, and then maybe come back in with Battlefront 3 later when they know that the sales are going to be there, considering that, you know, over time it should get stronger again if Star Wars itself sorts itself out.
Well, I mean, dude, even without this like 20% markup that comes from Tom Henderson, like you said, you know, EA spent a solid 7 years just getting battered for making Star Wars games that were disappointing people, or cancelling Star Wars games that people were really interested in. You know, I'm pretty sure there's a number out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but didn't they like cancel as many Star Wars games as they released, essentially? You know, they didn't have an easy ride with it in like the ones that they did release up until Jedi Fallen Order were either very controversial, like Battlefront 2 initially, or just kind of disappointing, like Battlefront 1 was. So it's like, it's not like they've had an easy ride. It's not like they've released a lot of games. And I think that was reflected when, you know, the license became more democratized in 2020, I think it was, where EA is still going to make Star Wars games, but then they're not going to exclusively make Star Wars games. Like you said, there are a bunch of different studios. Ubisoft's getting in on it. And now we've seen it kind of like spread out.
Well, David Cage is getting in on it. Like, I mean, you talk about spreading the IP around. You know, Quantic Dream themselves are doing something with Star Wars. But yeah, that was the whole thing. They inked the deal, I think, initially in 2013. It was meant to be a decade-long thing. And then Disney got on the blower and said, actually, the way this is rolled out is not what we want. And we're going to, like you said, democratize it, hand it out to other people, see what other teams can do with this stuff. It's worth throwing in here as well, just for the future of Battlefront, that a lot of the key members of DICE that managed to turn around Battlefront 2, considering the smoldering wreck it was in 2017, a lot of the the key members of staff have now left the company. That includes Battlefront 2's creative director Dennis Branval, core gameplay designer Christian Johannessy, and lead hero designer Guillaume Moroz. Now, assumedly, like, I just have to assume they're the people that instrumentally helped turn it around, because 2017's version of Battlefront 2 was absolutely on fire. And I think if they're not on hand to go straight into Battlefront 3, then whatever version of the game we would have got anyway, maybe isn't going to turn out as well. Yeah. It's probably better that they take some time and figure out what the hell they want to do with the Battlefront IP overall.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, totally. I mean, you've seen that not just on the Battlefront franchise, but in the Battlefield franchise. You know, DICE has lost a lot of key players over the past few years. Battlefield 5, obviously disappointed and underperformed. Battlefield 2042 right now has had a lot of problems, and the community is not happy with the way that's been rolled out. The creative director, for instance, of that game has now left. So there's been a lot of key personnel coming and going in that studio over the years, which, yeah, combined with this demand to get more copies in to justify the cost of the games has undoubtedly compounded to them just being like, right, we're going to take some time, we're going to hopefully get this right, we're going to let other studios with more well-received games, and more importantly, more successful games, or more profitable games at the very least, come in and work on Star Wars, like you said, with Respawn and Jedi Fallen Order. Because Jedi Fallen Order, that was like this lightning bolt of, you know, inspiration for EA. For the longest time, like you said, you know, they were saying, single-player games are dead. Nobody wants to play single-player games. We're going to make these multiplayer live service games. And then Jedi Fallen Order came out, which was exclusively single-player, and it sold ridiculous amounts. It, like, well overdid what EA expected. I think in the first year, it did 8 million sales. That's definitely up to 10, if not more, thanks to the recent remaster, which, if you compare to Titanfall 2, which is, you know, I'm sure you agree, one of the best first-person shooters of the past generation, like, that's a great game. It's Respawn's own IP. That only sold 4 million. So there's like a gap there where Jedi Fallen Order did double what the other IP that studio currently has did. So for that reason, it should be a no-brainer for EA to go, yeah, that 20% extra that we need to take into account, it's not really a factor here, because it did double and has the potential to do even more with a sequel. So I think that's kind of the reason why there are, that's a reason why some studios are seemingly allowed to work on Star Wars and others are not, because we're not getting Battlefront 3.
Yeah, I mean, in regards to Titanfall 2, obviously EA themselves messed up the marketing side of it and dropped it in the little weird little sandwich that it was in between Call of Duty and Battlefield. But it just kind of speaks to the way that they've managed stuff over the years. Like you said, there's so many projects cancelled. The general energy around Star Wars, especially in the gaming space for the last decade, let's say, is not very strong. Right now, there's Jedi Fallen Order 2 on the way. There's Knights of the Old Republic coming from Aspyr. And I forget who's publishing that off the top of my head. I think it's the Lucas chain, Lucas Games, Lucas Arts. They've had so many different names that I'm just referring to them as just George Lucas's little After Effects thing that's making
George
games.
George Lucas himself.
Just Big George's Funhouse. It's just they're still making stuff, and that's fine. But yeah, I think that the way that EA have looked after the deal that they were exclusively given is nothing less than a disaster, a hilarious, tragic disaster. And there are many, you can go on there's various lists of the amount of projects that just didn't get it out the door, including the likes of Amy Hennig's stuff, which all of us would have loved to see. And now that they're realizing that single player stuff does sell, because it never didn't sell, that's one of the biggest missed opportunities. You could have had an Amy Hennig fronted Star Wars game with the budget of EA, and it could have been phenomenal. So I hope that in the long term they realize that, and they realize what they have to play with, kind of thing. But what's your general thoughts on Star Wars in gaming? Because I played a hell of a lot of Battlefront 2. I bought the Ultimate Edition. I was just like, give me everything over time. I've bought like three versions of that game and played a hell of a lot of it. And I do think Battlefront 2 is pretty much the best Star Wars game it's not ever made, but it's up there, like top five.
It's
definitely the best multiplayer Star Wars game. And I think they nail the vast majority of that thing over time. Where are you at on Star Wars in gaming? What do they actually need to do? If they were going to bring Battlefront back, or just in general?
I think it's on an upswing. It was in a really dark place when EA had the exclusive rights to it, and we were only getting those big games from them. But like I say, it seems promising now. I don't like the sound of all the projects that are currently in development. Like, whatever Ubisoft is going to do with Star Wars scares me to my core, because I don't want an Ubisoft game that has a Star Wars skin over it. The likes of the fact that EA especially seems to now understand what players actually want. They're focusing on more hardcore experiences in some cases, like with Star Wars Squadrons, and obviously we've got Jedi Fallen Order 2. I just feel like we need to expand into a bunch of different genres like we are tentatively doing now, and ultimately not make the same mistake that the Marvel license has made within the gaming space as well, where we got the great Insomniac Spider-Man, obviously a single-player driven game there, and then we got the excellent Miles Morales, but outside of that we got the Avengers, and then I feel like Square Enix, for instance, even they quickly realized the mistake of just trying to ultra-monetize this already lucrative franchise. I imagine that the big wig executives see these franchises, they look at the amount of potential money that Star Wars, that Marvel can make, and they're not content with just making a lot of money, they want to squeeze every single drop out of it because they've got this lucrative brand, why not? But then we got the Avengers, we saw how that worked, we got Battlefront 2, we saw how that worked at a launch, obviously that was turned around, and I just feel like we need to stop trying to milk these franchises dry and focus on making good games first and foremost. And I think and I hope that's where we are now. That's where we are now with the franchises that are up and running. That's where we are now with the projects that are currently in development. And hopefully the success of something like Fallen Order can be at least a kind of numbers crunching example that this can work. This process can thankfully work.
Yeah, man. Well, I mean, the Star Wars gaming history is pretty damn strong. You have especially across the 2000s, a massive swath of really recommendable, worthwhile Star Wars games that came out in the wake of the, at the time, hated prequels. Obviously, they've gone on to be more reappreciated over time. But Star Wars always works best when it's an interactive, playable sandbox anyway, for me anyway. So I think, there are fun things to interact with in a gaming space, and hopefully they figure out a way to do that. In regards to Battlefront 3, though, for now, EA are saying, no, it's not worth the license cost, it's not worth every other factor they're throwing into that, and they just can't grease their palms enough right now, so they have to wait until some point in the future.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack
for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.